Welcome back to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, your co-host of the program, and this is your time. If you've got a problem with your computer, with your phone, with your printer, whatever you've got there, we'd love to give you a hand. Give us a call at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. It all depends on your questions. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and this is your hour. Our motto here is the only dumb question is the question you don't ask. There isn't a dumb question out there. No matter how small or how big, you may not have been using the computer for very long. That doesn't matter. Don't worry about the fact that maybe you don't know all the lingo, but you do know that the computer is not working, you're not connecting, Wi-Fi is down, whatever the problem may be, you know that problem, and we'd love to help you unravel that and get some answers. 800-859-0957. Just think of that. Free for nothing. You've got a bunch of experts in here ready to talk with you and answer your questions. That's starting with Mr. Gary Baker, who's with us from down in sunny Florida. Gary, good to have you with us for the second hour of the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here for hour number two, where we get to answer other people's questions.
And that's matter of fact,
people answer ours.
That's how we started, Gary and I, in 1998 we began. It's closing in on 20 years this next February. And it began during my morning show on WJR on Saturdays on the weekend. And we found that people were really anxious to use this as an opportunity, especially back then when the Internet, we just kind of people were getting on board using the Internet and were having trouble with those noisy modems in particular.
Yeah, that worldwide what is that going on? And, you know, we found that other people were making the same mistakes we were. We were just a half a step ahead of them figuring it out.
So, that's right. You know. That's what made us experts at that time. But this time around, we've got some people who are genuine experts as well, along with Gary, and that is Kasten Thomas, who's with us. Kasten, thank you so much for being in studio with us today.
Well, it's better to be in the studio than out in that 90-degree heat outside right now.
Got the air conditioning is working very nicely in here. Thank you very much. Kasten, tell us a little bit about your company.
My company really specializes in advanced security technologies directed for large companies.
Okay.
So we're having a lot of fun with that.
And then also with us in studio, and I, as a matter of fact, we're getting to know one another, is Tom Lawrence of Lawrence Systems.
Yeah.
Am I right? Hang on a second. We make sure that you're... Go ahead, hit the button. I think that's the button there.
That's the button?
We got it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about pressing the right buttons. It's all about the job.
Yeah, Lawrence Systems, and you are a troubleshooter, tech troubleshooter.
So I've been working in this industry for like about 23 years now, and I own Lawrence Systems, which is both small business services for IT, and we have a retail store where we help consumers with their problems. And kind of a side channel to that is we have a YouTube channel that is a direct spinoff of
that. Oh, excellent.
Yeah, because a lot of people have questions, and I heard you guys discussing it just on your last show about how do I manage passwords because they're difficult things. So we put entire reviews together step by step with tutorials because instead of us explaining something on the phone, we're like, oh, let me just send you the video link to a video we produced. We even produce videos on how to clean up your computer and how to actually do it step
Wonderful.
By step.
So, folks, this may sound like competition. It ain't. This is what we love to do is to put you in touch with resources that are out there 24/7 to help you. So how would people get to your channel on YouTube, Tom?
Easiest way to do it is go to lawrencesystems.com, LAWRENCE, and systems with an S at the end.
Okay, systems.com, and from there they can jump off to the YouTube channel.
Yep, there's a DIY channel, and there's even a link from Internet Advisor you guys have
woo-hoo!
To my show. So
I love it.
To start.
Now, you also, I understand, do a podcast.
I do. It's a Linux podcast, so I get deeply technical with a few other co-hosts, but we make it fun and a little bit lighthearted, but we dive into very deep Linux topics and everything around the open source community.
Okay. Where do you broadcast that? What is the channel that you're on for that?
Podcast Detroit.
Podcast Detroit.
Yeah,
oh, great.
You've heard of those guys, right?
I've heard of those guys, yeah. So you're on the same podcast network that we are on.
You can find it at Podcast Detroit, and we have our own dedicated site, which is smlr.us.
smlr.us.
Yep, for the Sunday Morning Linux Review. And yes, we actually record on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m.
I love it. Okay.
And Foster, I don't go on Facebook very much, but when I do, Tom Lawrence has a Facebook feed. Some of his YouTube videos that are up there are absolutely hilarious.
Okay. So where would we look for you on Facebook then? Under Tom Lawrence?
Yeah, under Lawrence. You can look up Lawrence Systems or Tom Lawrence, me personally, and you'll find all the fun videos we do.
Excellent. So, folks, those are resources that are out there for you. I hope that you will take advantage of that. I understand that there's not many people probably in our audience that are Linux aficionados or very adept at that. But what Tom is saying is you've got a great resource with your YouTube videos for all sorts of other computer problems. Now, that's the resource that's available for you folks here right now at 800-859-0957. And what we're going to be doing is in just a minute, we're going to be stepping out for a break. Kel Carson and I got together on the phone before he left for Atlanta a little earlier on this week, and I recorded a full 20-minute conversation with him about the WWDC. And that is the Apple's release this on last Monday at the beginning of the week and all the things that they announced there and some of his perspectives on it. Really interesting conversation. What we're going to do when we come back from our break is to play part one of that for you. So you get some of the sense of what Cal and I talked about. And then part two is available along with part one on our Internet Advisor website. So we're going to be doing that in just a moment. When we come back, Cal Carson and I will be talking about his analysis of WWDC. And then when we come back, we hope that you have got all your questions piled up here and we can start answering them. The number is 800-859-0957. And if you have a problem and don't call to get some help with it, well, my goodness, shame on you. We're waiting here for you. 800-859-0957. Looking forward to talking with you on the Internet Advisor. It's our pleasure, as always, to bring our Apple expert fresh from the orchard following WWDC. That's the Worldwide Developers Conference that began at the beginning of the week. Cal Carson is not in studio with us right now, but faithful reporter that he is going to be giving us his perspective on the Apple announcements that were made this week from Atlanta, Georgia, where he's at right now. Hi, Cal.
Hey, Foster. How's it going today?
Very well, sir. Glad to have you on here. And as always, I know that you've got some fresh perspectives on Apple and the announcements that were made this week. I tell you what, let's start with just kind of an overall perspective on this. What did you think of this WWDC compared to past ones?
I can say one thing for certain. WWDC takes place on the West Coast, and we're in the East Coast. So we don't actually start seeing it until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It starts at 10 o'clock out there. And every year, unless I happen to be off work, which is hardly ever during this time, I can never get a chance to see the whole keynote. But this year I was very lucky. I saw all minus 15 minutes of it, which was really wonderful because it lasted almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
It was chock loaded.
It was marathon. This is one of the longer ones, isn't it? Or actually, they've all kind of gotten around the 2 hour length, I think, in the past as well. Did I hear you say it was shock loaded?
No, chock loaded.
Oh, shock.
Yeah, I did not. I found no shocks in this particular one at all. It came out pretty much the way I expected it to. Everyone was saying, well, maybe they'll say something about the iPhone. Mm. And I'm going like, you're not going to hear anything about the iPhone until September or so, because that's when they traditionally talk about it. And there was no real talk about the iPhone other than the fact that they talked about iOS 11, which is coming in December. And that will affect the iPhone, of course. And they showed some of the possible features that are going to happen with it. It's going to help with the iPhone, but it's going to totally change or really be a monumental change for the iPad. And that was really good. One of the things they talked about in it that's really cool, with the iPad, with iOS 11, you'll be able to do drag and drop between applications, which is a pretty big thing. So if you were working on something in Photoshop and then you want to take that something and move it, let's say, over into a web development package that you were doing on it, you could literally drag and drop it into that application. Wow. And that's a big game changer, because being able to move in between applications and do that sort of thing,
saves time and money.
Cal, is it fair to say that Apple is doing its best to kind of push the iPad into, like with the iPad Pro, into a place where it's competing with things like Microsoft Surface?
I believe so. And a matter of fact, in some ways, I think it's creating even more of a niche of itself, in the sense that in addition to it becoming a business tool and being able to run business-like applications, mm-hmm. Excel and PowerPoint, where they have Keynote and that sort of thing on the iOS side, it is a highly creative tool for creative artists, mm-hmm. Graphic artists, to be able to create things on it that are very, very impressive. They did some demonstrations that were just absolutely mind-blowing with the iPad, especially in the gaming world as well. Mm. And those things are really starting to sit out really extremely well. Matter of fact, there was one where they were using the iPad and augmented reality, which was just awesome. You would actually you'd use the rear camera on the iPad, and let's say you focused it on a table, and then you could take tools and place a coffee cup on the table. And then as you moved your iPad around at that table, it would reveal the different sides of the cup, the shadows. You could change how they drop, wow. The whole shooting match. It was really impressive.
And these are all things that are being developed for iOS 11, right?
Correct.
Now that, just to, for the sake of the audience as well, iOS 11 is the operating system for the mobile devices. They'll be like the iPhone and the iPad. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah. The iPhone and iPad, and iOS 11 interacts with watchOS, which they also announced a new version of that as well. And watchOS is the operating system that runs on the watches, mm-hmm. that allows the phone and the Apple Watch to talk to each other, and they've got a lot of new features with that as well.
Talk about some of the hardware that popped up at Apple's WWDC this week.
Well, let's go back to the iPad. The iPad Pro now comes in two configurations. It came in two configurations before, which is like almost a 12-inch one that's been around for a while, and then it also came in like a 9-inch size. But for some reason, other than 9-inch size, needed a little expansion. So they've dropped the 9-inch size, and they came out with a 10.5-inch size for the iPad Pro. So you get it in the 12, and you can get it in the 10. That extra bit of real estate was really gathered a lot by the fact that the side bezel is much, much thinner on that new iPad Pro, so mm-hmm. it gives you more screen area to work with.
Yeah, much more real estate.
And that was the biggest thing in the iPad arena.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What got me excited more than anything else is when we got into the Macs, because they came out with just a boatload of new Mac product. We have a new MacBook, which is faster. It's got some speed bumps and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and it runs quicker. The same with the MacBook Pro, got speed bumps, and that's running faster and has nicer screens to it. What really got me excited was two of them. One was the new iMacs, which are just incredible.
Yeah.
The screens are all the 4K screens now.
Oh, my.
And the price point, you can get into a 21-inch iMac with a 4K screen starting at $1,300.
Mm.
And the processors are a lot faster. They're now taking laptops, taking advantage of the new Kaby processors
that they came out with. Yeah.
And so those are in the new iMacs. They're also in the new MacBook Pros as well, and the new MacBooks. So they're using those processors in most of the machines. They're putting larger hard drives into the iMac. Matter of fact, SSDs are coming in just about all of them now. And then if you want to get more space and have some SSD capability at the same time, they're going with larger fusion drives up to 3 terabytes in size.
Wow.
So it's great. I was really excited about that. And I was cranked up about that in itself, and some of the things they were showing, until they turned around and said, oh, we have new iMac Pros.
Cal, that was almost the Steve Jobs one more thing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We should have a drum roll, I think, for this one, because there was a huge announcement about the new iMac Pro.
Yeah, and this iMac Pro, the baseline one to start off with, has got 8 cores in it. So you got 8 processing cores in that machine.
Wow.
But your top-of-the-line one has 18 cores. And so it can just blaze through just about anything. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're creating animation or that sort of thing, it's going to be so smooth and mm-hmm. and flawless looking. I'm in the business, and I go like 11 teraflop. I don't know what that really feels like, but I know it's fast. So, you know, those sort of things that are out there available for you. You can put, you know, they can take more memory right inside of the machine itself, up to 128 gig.
Yeah.
So 3D modeling and that sort of thing, things that people are doing with a pro size type machine, they'll be able to do. And a lot of people had said in the past, you know, I'd like to be able to take advantage of the beauty of that big iMac screen, mm-hmm. but they're not fast enough. They're not at a pro level. Well, now they are. And in addition to that, even if you've got a 27-inch iMac Pro sitting there, you go like, I need some more. Well, you can hook up to 2 5K displays to that existing iMac. So now you got 3 of them going on at the same time. Amazing. That ought to give you enough screen space to work with.
We're talking with Cal Carson. He's calling us from Atlanta, Georgia, where he's on assignment for another project that he's involved with. Yeah, that was part one of our conversation with him. If you'd like to hear part two of that complete report of from Cal about Apple, simply go to internetadvisor.net. You can see it right there. We'll be back in just a minute. Perry is on the line with us from Ohio, and we're waiting for your call at 800-859-0957. Tom Lawrence is in studio here along with Kasten Thomas and Foster Brown, ready to answer your questions. Get on the phone. We'll be with you in just a moment. We return after this break. Thank you for being with us here on the second hour of the Internet Advisor. I thought I'd sneak that part one of my interview with Cal Carson. Part two, it's up already on the homepage at internetadvisor.net. By the way, there is a Mac Group meeting tomorrow. That's Mac Group Detroit. It's going to be at 3 o'clock, and it's going to be at the Birmingham Temple. That's on 12 Mile in Farmington Hills. For more information on that, go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and you can find out more about that. Let's go to our phone lines and say hello to, let's see, Perry from Ohio. Perry, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
What can we do for you?
I'm an older guy, but I'm kind of familiar with computers.
Okay.
And I thought it would be kind of fun to download music, and I've been investigating peer-to-peer and MP3. I don't really want to get into the peer-to-peer thing. That's kind of iffy, but
right.
You don't know what you're downloading, and it's kind of legality things. But anyway, MP3, as I understand it, is not the highest quality file or format that you can get. Is there something better? My ultimate goal is to be able to download it, and once I have it onto my hard drive, I'd like to be able to play it from I have a good stereo at home. Let's play it through a stereo system.
But there are systems like, for instance, Sonos has some wonderful speakers and a good system for that. Tom Lawrence, you had some thoughts?
Yeah, MP3s are actually pretty high quality if they're encoded properly. They have what they call a variable bitrate system, so you can record them at low quality, so they're nice and small, or wonderfully high quality, so you can hear all those fun details in it. There's other formats, such as Ogg Vorbis, which are supported by some players, but you're going to find MP3 is a more universal support.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're looking for ones probably at the 192 or higher bit rates. That's going to be
192 or higher.
Right.
The bit rate.
You got
okay.
it.
Well, that's generally, you can look into the properties of the file to find out recording quality that it's made at. But another good tip is just to look at the file size based on the length of the recording that you have.
Yeah.
I see.
So if it's pretty short, what should it run, guys, a decent quality MP3.
And there are only a few megs, maybe like you know, 5 or 6 megs to run. I mean, but you can, even in Windows, just right-click, do a properties of the file, and it'll tell you what the bit rate is. And if you see some that are even at like 320, there's your really high-fidelity ones on there. So
we're looking for a bit rate of 192 or higher.
Right.
Okay.
That's and that would indicate the higher quality audio then.
Yeah, and it's it sounds like, Perry, that you can use almost any audio software to do that, if it it allows that.
Yeah, there's a lot of audio. You can use things like, if you're looking to convert them yourself or pull them off of a CD, there's several different tools you can use, such as VLC is a really popular one. It will do the conversion, and when it does the conversion, you can choose the higher bit rates. So when you're, you choose
the name of that tool, the program, or whatever it is?
VLC Player. It's
Victor Lawrence Charlie, VLC.
Okay. Yep.
But only download it from a reliable location.
Now, Cassin's, he's the security man.
I'm the security guy.
Listen to that. Matter of fact, Perry, you said something about that beforehand that I thought was really astute on your part, which is you got to be careful if you're going to these sites which are BitTorrent sites.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, those kind of things. Because they are notorious for having all sorts of garbage attached to them.
They are,
I guess, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful with that. If you're looking for a safe way to download software, and DLC is definitely included in that list, one of my favorites is Ninite, NINITE.com. It is a wonderful resource to get programs loaded on your computer without having the cruff and the things that want to get loaded with them. And it's a trusted site. They've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it's NINITE.com. Yep. Ninite or Ninite. Whichever you want, but that's a great site. I heard, let's see, was it Bleeping Computers with another one?
Bleeping Computers is good as well. They're
Bleeping
trusted.
Computers is another good, but I am finding it really hard to find, Carson, sites that are safe and trustworthy.
Yeah.
Gonna do that.
Right.
Especially with downloads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You really need to be looking at the original source of someone you trust, because if you don't, you do not know what you're putting on, particularly if you're getting pop-ups saying, download our software, there's a problem with your computer.
Oh,
don't do it. That's
you
the
don't
worst
want anything
thing to
like
do.
That, huh?
You know, the other thing, too, Perry, that I found is that I will go, for instance, I'll go to a site and I'm going to download what I think is the software, only it's another piece of software that they're offering me, not the piece that I wanted.
Yeah, I see that happening sometimes. And I'm kind of savvy as far as that kind of stuff goes. I don't download anything that I don't trust. But,
I have my mother's voice running around. I have my mother's voice running from when I was about four years old. Don't do it.
Yeah. Great maternal voice. All right, Perry, thank you very much for your call. You've asked it a great question, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. It was an excellent question. By the way, folks, that's a good example of a question that may seem kind of simple, but boy, is it important, because you can get stung so badly.
I had a friend who spent a lot of hours before he knew what he was doing. He had an entire amazing physical CD collection, and he was ripping them all because, this seems like it takes up too much space. So he lowered the bit rate, and then he couldn't figure out why they sounded so awful. And he's like, is it my headphones? I'm like, no. You simply made a mistake. He goes, but I've been doing this for a week. And I'm like, you made a really big mistake then.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
All right. Here's the phone number, folks. 800-859-0957. Delighted that you're starting to call in and we can get some help for you. Here we go. Let's talk with Bob from Garden City. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Bob. How can we help you?
Well, thank you for answering my question. I've experienced a problem with Siri lately where she's become hard to get a hold of. Sometimes I might call her name 5 or 6 times, and that's with no background noise, and she doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And then I wait a little bit, and then I have no problem getting a hold of her. But I'm finding that more and more.
Guys, any thoughts?
Are you seeing this when you're connected to a Wi-Fi, or are you connecting to the cell network when this is happening?
No, when I'm on the cell network.
Okay. Are you sure that you have full good signal on there? I'm more of a Google user myself, but I do experience a lot of problems with it when it just doesn't have a strong signal. It sometimes is a little less responsive because it's doing voice recognition that's not being done necessarily on the phone. It's sending it out to the cloud and back to process. So it has to have plenty of bandwidth to get there.
Yeah, the signal is not a problem.
And okay. What model of iPhone are you using, Bob?
6S.
6S. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That should be pretty good in terms of, I was saying that some of the, matter of fact, we were kind of talking amongst ourselves during a break. There's been a lot of negative analysis after following WWDC.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they're really as up to date. I mean, we were doing a test, me and one of the guys, because I have a tech that's an iPhone guy, I'm an Apple guy. So we were doing a test of who could get it faster, and it was really impressive how fast Google's. I'm using the actual Google phone itself, the Nexus line, and it is just I can throw it across the room, and it picks my voice up in the most amazing way, understands everything I say, and he's like aggravated with Siri.
Yeah, I you know the terrible truth of the matter is that Siri really isn't playing in the same league. Pardon me. This is my opinion, okay, Foster Brown? I don't think it's playing in the same league as Google Voice and Alexa.
Yeah. Both of them are just so ahead of the other systems. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that Siri wasn't good. It's just now that we have these other ones, we're going, I guess it doesn't look as good. We got something shinier.
But guys, Bob's got a problem, so.
Yes, let's talk.
So, Bob, do you know how to unload applications on your iPhone?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you done that?
No, I haven't, but I wanted to mention, if I go to my Google app, I have no problem at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there could be a reason for that, because when your memory is filled up on the iPhone and you bring Google to the forefront, it is running in the foreground, as it's called. Siri runs in the background. So if you know how to double-click on your home key and then get rid of the apps, I would unload all of your apps and then do a full restart by holding down the home button and then
the power button at the same time
until the Apple comes back. That's going to give you a clean load of your operating system. There won't be any memory leaks. And that might give Siri a better chance of grabbing some of the background processes so that it can work better.
Very good point. Very good point.
And you might want to try removing Google to see if that's causing interference with, you know, you don't want them playing tug of war with each other. No?
Apple doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So, Bob, you had a comment?
You're saying I need to remove all of the apps from the phone to do that?
Not remove the apps, but remove them. What happens is all of the apps are loaded and those occupy the memory. And then Siri's trying to find memory in order to work. And this is a layman's approach. So techies, don't write me nasty emails. But essentially, your memory fills up and you're not deleting the applications, but you're removing them from memory.
Okay.
And if you can get Siri to respond, you can ask Siri, how do I remove apps from memory? And there are also some YouTube videos on how to get your iPhone all cleaned up. So,
okay.
Yeah, by the way, thank you for mentioning it. YouTube videos are a great place to go. Just go to the YouTube channel and start loading it in.
Yep, absolutely. Start looking for a solution.
All right, Bob.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A great question. Thanks for asking it. 800-859-0957. John in Livonia, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, I listen to you guys all the time. First time I've ever called in. Anyway.
Let's see if we can help.
I got this like a tablet, small tablet. I got it. It's a Verizon thing.
Yeah.
And lately, I find that if I go and like do a Google search, I get it stays up for a minute, and I can type my search in, and it's like waiting to load. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I get a little window that pops up, and it says, "Unfortunately, Chrome has stopped." And you get a choice of report or OK. And I just hit OK, and I keep trying to do it. I've found that I've just had to open Yahoo and do a search on Yahoo because for some reason Chrome just keeps closing on me. And I've tried uninstalling it and reinstalling it, and it just doesn't seem to take care of the problem. I just wondered if there's some kind of remedy.
Well, do you have any weird plugins or that may have unloaded extensions that have loaded as well?
No, I don't have. It's a tablet. I don't use a tablet a whole lot. I just use it for
watching
YouTube videos and stuff. I do a lot of handyman stuff around the house.
Gotcha.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos lately, but I haven't saved them or anything like that.
No, I think he's asking about extensions in the Chrome browser. Am I right, Tim?
Yeah. Yep, because when you sign into Chrome, let's say on your laptop, and then you sign in again on your tablet or any other device, whatever settings and extensions you have follow you and load into that. And some of those could be causing a conflict. The other thing you can do is go into the settings. You're going to get a little deep in here, but it's settings. And then you go to the applications, and there's an option to clear the cache. And it may not get cleared when you uninstall the application. So when you clear the cache, what you're doing is clearing all the files it held behind there. And sometimes it'll say clear data or clear cache, depending on how the application is. And when you wipe that, it probably will have you sign back in, but that does help solve some of the problems with apps. I've actually seen it happen frequently with the Facebook app.
Okay, we're gonna step into a break in just a minute, John. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold and let you wrap up any kind of questions you have during the break.
Oh, that, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. I'll do exactly what you said.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, great.
Thanks a bunch.
And all right, we'll be here next week.
Yeah, you can let us know by going to internetadvisor.net. You can send us a note there. Suzanne and Laura, we will be with you in just a moment after this little timeout. Thank you very much to Tom Lawrence and Kasten Thomas, who are with us in studio here helping. You guys are smart. I tell you, I stand in awe of our tech help here and the great job that they do. They got lots of practical experience, and that's what we're bringing to bear to help you with your questions as well. So, by the way, the hint is call early. As Cal says, call often. 800-859-0957. We'll be back to wrap up some of those questions in just a moment. Well, I'd like to thank some of the folks behind the glasses we see who have helped us. And Daniel Mason, thank you so much for doing a great job there. She is the friendly voice that answers the phone here and does a wonderful job. And our first hour, Mike Stett, who has juggled grenades during that time, did a marvelous job of that. Thank you so much for helping us. You folks are what makes the program happen. And I want to thank, by the way, as well, my guest in studio, Tom Lawrence. Thanks for being here. Good to have you on here with us. And they just told me something that I did not know. If you go to internetadvisor.net and go to the bottom of our webpage there, you will see that we have this computer, you know, companies you can trust, local computer companies you can trust. And we do that when people call in and say, hey, this is a great one to go to. They can help you out. Guess what the first one there is? Lawrence Technology Services.
Yep, that's me.
So your shop is in Southgate, I understand.
It is in Southgate.
Excellent. All right. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, you can click off on that and it'll take you to the site. You can find out more about store hours, just generally, when you open.
Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. and 11 to 4 on Saturdays.
All right. That's Lawrence Technology Services.
Yes.
And that's in South. Okay, great.
You know, Foster, that page is a great resource for people to go to. And, you know, I encourage people to email us with recommendations
Absolutely.
For other people to add to that list.
Yeah, somebody said, why don't you have a program where you do like an Angie's List? And well, we got that here. And because the people who we have on this trusted local computer workshops, those are people that you folks have called in and said, these people do really good work. And we've got places like the Lawrence Technology Services and Mac Professionals do a great job out in Livonia. Icon Computer Services in Wayne, Michigan. Just a whole bunch of people who are doing great work for people. And we don't have people on unless we get that recommendation from you. That's very important to us. So, Kasten, thank you as well for coming in.
Always glad to be here.
Stepping in to help. Thanks so much. All right, let's go to Rhonda from Detroit. Rhonda, how are you doing? You had a question for us about, I think, some seminars, right?
The scholarship for coding
yes.
in Midtown Detroit.
Absolutely. And that's going to be, matter of fact, we're going to be having some more information on that coming up in a little while, not next week, but the week after. We're going to have the head of Grand Circus on. He's got the training organization is called Grand Circus. And they're going to be collaborating with Facebook, and they've got 3,000 scholarships that they're going to be giving out. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, I believe I have the information up there. Or if I don't have it right now, I will. Oh, I know where it's going to be. It will be under Mike Brennan's MI Tech News. You know where the
MI Tech News.
Yes, it's MI Tech News headlines. I will I will have those headlines up there for you so you can click on that. It's not there right now, but after the show is over this afternoon, later on this evening, I'll put that information up for you, okay?
Okay. Do you know what the age requirement is?
I don't think there's an age requirement involved in it. I don't think there's an age. You don't have to be real young or
old. Yeah, are you worried about being too old or too young?
No, I think maybe 18 to 68, huh? I'm somewhere in there.
All right, there you go.
As long as you're in there, you should be good.
You should be good, Rhonda. Thanks so much. And as I say, I will put more of that information up there. That was one of the headlines from MI Tech News. As a matter of fact, If you go to mitechnews.com right now, you will find that as one of the headlines in there, and you can click on that and get more information. Thanks so much for giving us a call. Let's see if we can wrap up a couple more questions here. Laura from Jackson, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a new Lenovo Yoga that I purchased within the last 2 months.
Hey, you know what, Laura? Laura, I'm sorry. I'm going to do something. I'm going to put you on hold and ask Danielle if she can call you. We're going to get your phone number so we can call you back because we have a horrible phone connection, and I want to make sure that I can answer your question by because I can hear you, okay? Laura from Jackson, Danielle's going to call you back, and we will have you on in just a moment because the phone was it was so bad we were not able to hear you. Just kind of a quick story, Tom. You were at the Microsoft
Build Conference.
Build Conference, which is kind of like their version of
the WC. It's centered more around the developers because Microsoft has a couple different ones because they're such a large company. They have different releases. But the Build Conference is really focused on the developers and all the new technologies you're going to be releasing. And, of course, with Microsoft, they did their whole work cloud first announcement, which was a little bit different this year. Normally, what they do is they talk about stuff that's coming out in Windows, and then they talk about some of the new server. They spun it around and talked about server, and then day two was about Microsoft.
We got to have you back to talk about that. That sounds fascinating. Let's see if we get back to... hello, Laura. Is this Laura?
Yes.
Ah, now we can hear what your question is. You got a new Lenovo Yoga, right?
That's right.
Okay, so it's a laptop. And your what is your problem?
My problem is that the keys seem to be too sensitive. I type very, very fast.
Yes.
And I can hardly touch them, and it just erases everything I've put in, or it bounces it at the beginning of the sentence, or wipes everything completely out. I have gone in, and I went to the area, and I don't remember what exactly, you know, how it was entitled, but trying to change the sensitivity of the keys.
Yeah, right.
And that hasn't worked.
Well, are the keys or of the touchpad? Is the touchpad jumping around and causing you to type in the wrong spot?
Well, it's not the touchpad. It's the keys.
So the keys, when you said it was moving around, a lot of times what you do is when you put your palm rest on there, it's supposed to turn the touchpad off, and sometimes it moves the cursor over a little, so you start typing in the wrong spot. Are you sure that's not what's happening, or maybe that is what's happening?
That could be. So how? So and when you're talking about the touchpad, you're talking about like the... screen. Is that what you're talking about? Touchpad?
Well, the touchpad you said is a laptop, right?
Yeah.
So the touchpad on the bottom that you know you used for instead of the mouse, a couple options there are to either A, simply turn it off, and on Lenovo's, I think that would be function key, and I'm looking on my Lenovo right now. it's an F 11 or F12 on some of those, be able to function key down, it'll actually turn that off. And it'll vary without knowing the exact model you have where that is. There's also, if you look for Synaptics, if you type it in, I'm assuming you have Windows 10, you can pull up the touchpad adjustment and you can turn down the sensitivity of it. But that is a frequent, because we get a lot of people that have that problem. They say it jumps around on them, right away sets us off like, oh, okay, it's probably touchpad, because that slight amount of risk, and especially fast typers, they will. You don't put a lot of pressure on it.
Right.
You know, if you're a slow typer, you're hunting and pecking away, so you never touch it. But when you're a touch typist, you're blazing away, and you actually aren't putting much pressure. So it thinks that your palm is off the rest, and it causes the mouse to move ever so slightly. Next thing you know, you've typed a sentence in the wrong spot because the cursor clicks somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yep,
so tell me that again. So that is with the touchpad.
Yep, and there's ways to turn it off, and then you can just use a mouse. There's one option. Other option is if you type in, it's Windows 10, you can do a search and type in Synaptic,
okay.
And that brings up the touchpad manager. And that is so you can turn down the sensitivity on there. Pretty much all the Lenovo's, everyone I've seen has a Synaptics is the company that makes the touchpad, and there's a utility within Windows that allows you to adjust it.
So it's called Synaptics.
Synaptics.
Got that?
Got it.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for giving us a call. And for the rest of you folks out there, I'm so glad you called. We're delighted to be able to have you come in. Tom, thank you so much. Tom Lawrence, for being with us. Great job of helping answer questions. Kasten, thank you, sir.
It's just always a pleasure to be here.
Yep.
Great to be here.
Been a delight, folks. You have a great weekend.